Yes, please.
Admiral Moore, please. Hello?
Admiral Moore, Mr. President?
Yeah, you have some...
I have Mr. Colson.
Yeah, I'll take him first.
Take him first and Admiral Moore.
After that, please.
Fine, sir.
Thank you.
The President's on the line, sir.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Yeah, sort of between dress, what's the reaction to the primaries up there?
Well, I think...
About what we anticipated.
Yes, sir. I think it has everybody stunned. The Muskie showing is very bad, and apparently he's stuck with staying in, although...
Is he?
Well, he's stuck with it in the sense that a lot of delegates, like in Massachusetts, are on his slate, and they just don't go to Miami if he doesn't at least...
Oh, yeah, in Ohio and other places. That's great.
So he has to stay to that degree. I don't know that he'll...
He might get a comeback in one of these places.
Well, I think he's also gambling, Mr. President, that he's everybody's second choice, and
yeah,
if they deadline...
Well, you know, that's happened at many conventions. Harding was a second choice, you recall.
That's right. That's right.
You know, after they fight, and then they finally come to good old Ed, huh?
Well, that may be what he's banking on, but God, he
never
just...
Never happened.
I don't think so. This
primaries
guy...
are destroying him as a vote-getter.
That's right. That's what he doesn't have.
What do they think of Wallace? Don't they think that's quite remarkable?
That's a shock, really. In Pennsylvania...
He comes in second, doesn't he?
In second, yes, sir.
That's really something.
And Muskie's in third, but he's in third by now... Yeah, just a couple of thousand votes out of... Let's see, 274,000.
Government not doing a damn thing comes in pretty good.
He's the phenomenon this year.
Were we on the ballot up there?
In Pennsylvania, no, sir.
I didn't think so.
Just delegates who are pledged to you, but...
You got them all good.
Yes, sir. But not, there's no popularity or preference contest.
Mm-hmm.
The one in Massachusetts, as I told you when we were in with... When I brought DeSimone in, is just incredible because they have Drynan and Galbraith. And about eight Harvard professors, Abe Chase, and...
Really?
Oh, just a
Drynan world. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Headed by Drynan and Galbraith.
Listen, Drynan, they will not go for, for example, any kind of a peace other than an all-out dove plank.
Well, the Massachusetts delegation, which, of course, is heavy in the Democratic Party, it isn't on our side, but they just won't... They'll settle for no compromises. They're heady, obviously, and they're just dedicated ideologues. I mean, they're all...
Well, the New Yorkers he'll have will be the same kind.
Same kind. And, well, I think this is what he's picking up everywhere, but...
Oh, one thing would you do, I forgot to mention it, but Bo mentioned to me, and I haven't... I know Rooney is a problem, but he is, at least is an American, that Rooney has the opposition of that son of a bitch, what's his name... Lowenthal.
Oh, my God.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, in any event, he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's any Republican, but you know John Rooney?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think you just ought to call him, look, the President had heard about that for the last night. He was... He just wants you to know that he doesn't... Probably, being a Democratic district, it wouldn't help you or anything, but that...
But if he can help you, he would.
But he's all out. He just hopes that... Wishes you the best, and if there's anything we can do, let us know.
I think that would be...
You just tell him that the President asked you to...
Right.
You to call. I'm sure Bull will pass this on to him. Anyway, just say he heard from Frank Bull last night. He couldn't believe that, that Rooney was in trouble, but or had any problem. But that the President just wants him to know that he's for him 100% because he's a patriotic American.
Good.
Throw that in.
Good. All right, he'll appreciate that, and that'll help us in dealing with him. I can't believe that
Lowenstein
would...
On the other hand, you never know the piecing.
No, it's a curious... the way the people that are coming out in the Democratic primary this year just are... They're a different breed.
Great. Great. In California, they'll be out in the droves.
But then you've got a fellow like Tip O'Neill in Massachusetts who's an old, ward-healing Democratic politician who just got beaten 5-1 in his own city of Cambridge. I mean,
what do you mean? He lost the nomination?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, he lost the delegate spot. But he lost it 5-1 in his own city of Cambridge. I mean, in his...
Oh, he is not going to be a delegate?
He will not be a delegate.
Ain't that too bad.
Nor will the mayor of Boston, nor will...
Kevin White?
Kevin White will not be, nor will the attorney general.
Because they all were at Muskie, is that it?
They were all pledged to Muskie and...
poor devils.
Not only... But they still could have been... that's the significant thing in Massachusetts.
You mean they vote separately for those?
Vote separately. So they could have voted for them and pledged them to McGovern, but they didn't do that. They cleaned them out as delegates, which just means that the whole party establishment is gone.
It also means, too, that Massachusetts is an awfully liberal state. I don't know. I can't believe it's that bad, but it must be.
Well, but what it's done, Mr. President,
it's unbelievable. There's all the characters gone out of the state. That's what I think has happened. I mean, we got a few good people, but basically the Harvard and MIT, Smith, all that, Wellesley, it's just they just softened the state.
Well, what you want to remember is that that McGovern will get about 300,000 votes when they're all counted. And that is the nut fringe. Now the other 300,000 Democrats who voted,
right.
We're going to have the same thing happen in Massachusetts that happened in New York. You know, the Democrats were winning, had control of that state, and then they split apart. This is the beginning of a split, and I think you'll see in another few years that state will become much more like New York because they've just, you know, they've cut them right up the middle. The old line.
Mm-hmm.
Irish Democratic polls are not going to play ball with these fellows whom they hate. So it'll be it's the kind of phenomenon that has occurred elsewhere, and it'll occur here. The state isn't that far up, but you can take 300,000 people and tram out for McGovern and clean out the establishment. That's just what it will turn out to be in the end.
It's great.
I don't know whether you noticed Cardinal Crowell put his statement out this weekend supporting you, and he's under very heavy attack from...
Is he?
Well, from liberals within the church.
Some should congratulate him.
Oh, we've called him this morning, and we've had a number of people call him and praise him. He condemned the North Vietnamese aggression and supported what you were doing to respond.
And there, he's under heavy attack, from Father Hesburgh and that
type? That type. Some of the wild liberal Jesuits in the church, they were blasting him in the press today, but we've called him.
On what ground? What were they blaming?
Well, that he had no business injecting the church into...
Well, what the hell have they been doing?
Well, that's right. And they say he's on the wrong side of the issue. That it's the same argument, but I was just delighted that President of the Council of Bishops, he stepped forward and really stepped up for us.
He should have a little note that I greatly want to know how much I admired his great courage in making this statement. And
we'll get it.
I trust he doesn't take too much flack as a result. You know,
God, he's with us.
And then go on to say that before my Russian trip, we will be in touch with you, because I want to have a talk with you with regard to my visit to Poland.
He mentioned that this morning. He's very excited about that.
You can tell him that I want to have a talk with him about that visit to Poland, and we'll work it out.
Good.
Or something. A little note like that would be fine.
All right. Well, we'll get that out today, sir. I was delighted he stepped up to it. Interesting in Philadelphia, by the way, that Humphrey really upended Muskie, which shows you the pull of Rizzo.
Rizzo, of course, who was sort of impliedly for Humphrey.
Well, he just wasn't for Muskie. He broke with Schapp, and even though the city chairman and the local political organization were working like hell for Muskie, Humphrey beat Muskie right in Philadelphia.
So. It shows you what Rizzo can do for us.
Precisely. I mean, you draw that parallel to November, and hell, that's a state that I would... I figure right now, the way that state is gone, I think we will take
And incidentally, it won't show in polls. Because
nope, that's right.
Basically, it's a wheeling and dealing state.
That's
and
right.
Polls never tell you anything about a wheeling and dealing state. It's like New York. You can't predict New York because it's wheeling and dealing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And watch.
And the way in which the blocks move, the block voting, nobody figured Philadelphia for Humphrey. They were all counting it as a Muskie stronghold with a Polish vote. But he just didn't get them. That does show...
Of course, a lot of people say that Humphrey got the Negroes, that's what helped him there. Might be. That's right, too.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I still think...
No, incidentally, I don't mind Humphrey being built up, do you?
No, I think we ought to build him up. I think what's coming, Mr. President, is a Humphrey McGovern head-on. And that couldn't be better, because it's the old guard against the...
They can't put the two. I don't think they can put the two of them together on a ticket. I just don't think they could. That's, you know what I mean.
I don't think McGovern's people would let him.
Not with Humphrey.
No, this becomes.
Well, also, it's too regional too. It's you know
right.
what I mean. You can't have a couple of people from neighboring states, one a very small state and another a medium state.
That's right.
Represent the Democratic Party. I mean, it's not going to be done.
No, I think the feeling among the McGovern fanatics is that this is their time to make or break.
Tell me this. We still feel that McGovern is not just a stalking horse. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think he flushed Kennedy out this weekend. I think the stuff that we planted up there last week had a hell of an impact because he dragged the family out to campaign for him, and I have an idea. I have an idea what he said is put up or shut up. I want the Kennedy family visibly showing. And
no, but having Kennedy for him, Chuck, is completely consistent with his getting out for Kennedy, isn't it?
Except that he isn't going to do that.
You don't think so?
No, sir. Not under any circumstances. He's
had reports from inside.
Yes. Yes. Definitely from.
Well, just keep putting that in and really ream it, because if we can get him, if he'll stay,
God,
will have a hell of a thing. Because Kennedy may try to go for it. If he does, the McGovern people should just jump up and down and shout and say, "Why the hell didn't he get out and go out and turn the primary?"
Right. That's right. No, McGovern himself is now convinced that he can be. It will be nominated.
Is he?
Absolutely. And his attitude is that only the labor bosses can deny it to him, and if they do, he's going to destroy the party. And he's not about to step aside. He's put too much of himself into it, and his people won't let him. His people.
They put a lot into it too, haven't they?
Sure. They've been working. Fanatic organizers. They've been just working like beavers in all of these states and pulling off their delegates. Of course, McGovern's now got. Officially has 235 delegates.
Incidentally, we do not want to combat at all the efforts of the liberal press to build up McGovern as a reasonable man. Let him go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't even. But all we want to say is that he's a very serious candidate, a very great threat.
Right.
I'd play that line. We think he's a very serious threat. He's got a cutting edge, and we're worried about McGovern. That's the line we should have.
Right.
But don't indicate at all anything about that. Don't attack him, but just say we're worried about McGovern because of his great appeal to youth and so forth. Do you have a point?
Yes, I do. I think that's exactly the line we should be on. We have the only change in that, we have a pretty rough attack coming on him in Monday this week, the big mailing of the RNC. The reason for it...
That doesn't make any difference.
No. And
it's
on
Vietnam.
It's on Vietnam, and I think it ought to be on that.
That's all right. On the other hand, you've got to go. I've just talked to Haldeman, and over this weekend, right after my speech, I want everybody working 24 hours a day, following up, kicking, supporting, calling the networks, every device we can use now.
We have a nut cutter for the vice president.
When's he going to make it?
He'll do it Friday up in Maine, which is a marvelous spot. And I got him the material that you marked off of the
Buchanan
memo, yes.
Isn't that good, though?
Oh, that's great stuff. That's marvelous.
Will he use it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's disposed to do it.
Get that out in advance now. And
yes. Yep.
And also get Goldwater's speech a second ride somewhat by having somebody attack it or I don't know.
Well, what we're doing with that, Mr. President, I've given it to the vice president with a suggestion that he might want to quote portions of it because he can attribute it to Goldwater. It's not him.
Yeah.
Secondly, Bob Dole is mailing it to friendly editors and columnists, a list of about 500 that we have with a very good cover letter and an attack on those Democrats who won't disavow Madam Ben.
That's right.
That'll get some press because...
The Madam Ben thing should be a major project this week. Keep hitting it, hitting it, hitting it. Remember, they won't disassociate themselves from the communists.
Well,
communist Madam Ben. Don't say the Vietnam.
No.
The communist Madam Ben.
Communist enemy.
Yeah.
And we have... I gave that to the vice president to work into his speech also. And I have two fellows up on the Hill, and I've said, just don't come back until you... bring me the statements of everybody just kicking this one. We'll keep this alive, and I think we're going to get some help on it because some of the columnists I'm told are well. Evans and Novak column this morning was a good example.
What'd they say?
Well, they said the Doves got out too early, too far up front, and the American people aren't with them. The American people are with the president. They built a whole column out of the Sindlinger poll.
Oh, the Senator poll.
That
helped us because, you know, and then Gallup followed with not a good one, not as good.
But not a bad one.
On our side.
That's right. Not a bad one.
And we know Gallup loaded the questions.
When you look at that as a loaded question and realize that you still get a majority of the people saying they agree with the bombing, that's very impressive considering...
They didn't agree with Johnson's bombing.
No, that's right. So it's a very different situation. The Sindlinger thing is...
Finished tonight. I think it's going to be stronger, too.
Well... I'm sure it will be. The Sindlinger poll, I've never seen anything get the attention of the media the way that has. Of course, he did a good job at his press conference last week.
Right.
But they're all talking about it. Of course,
see, the thing is, it's going to make him a big man that way.
That's right. Oh, and he
loves that.
Oh, sure. And he's
now become one of the big three.
I talked to him yesterday, and he said, I think I'll start doing this with regularity. I'll come down there every few weeks for press conferences. So we'll make good use of Sindlinger. And he's
saying Clausen, huh?
Clausen tells me that the press have been, all of them, talking about the Sindlinger poll. That they were astonished that so many of the people are supporting you. I think the media may realize they'll get their neck out a little bit far as the.
And also, this whole thing about the Kissinger trip and the rest confuses the living bejesus out of these bastards.
Oh God, they climb the walls over it.
They don't know what to do they?
No, and they got caught. And the TV commentators made more of the secrecy than the written press. The written press, I think, more professional about it. They downplayed it. Of course, our networks last night gave us a jab. But to me, it doesn't hurt.
About secrecy?
Yes.
Oh, it doesn't make a difference. That's a pure in-house thing.
Well, that's exactly right. As I was saying this morning to John Ehrlichman,
Ehrlichman's always worried about credibility.
Yeah, I said, hell, the public still watch spy movies and love them, and read spy novels.
That's right.
Kissinger's
whole business, I mean, everybody around the line is always worried about credibility. That's a phony issue.
Yeah.
To me, anything.
Totally phony.
That's right. Because in our case, there's no question. We put it out. And I know John's always worried about, are we telling the truth and all that. To hell with it.
No.
Do what's necessary.
Well, and the people care about the results, really. In the foreign policy area, I think it's a little...
No, domestically. Domestically tell them everything, but because it doesn't matter.
That's right.
In foreign policy, you do anything to get peace.
Well, the credibility issue, to me, is not a serious issue, except when you get into things like busing, where people say, well, God damn it, all those politicians are talking against busing, but it's going on in my community. So this is something we
like Kissinger going to Moscow.
Oh, of course they're
to negotiate peace. Now let's face it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, nobody should get disturbed about it, and nobody should pay any attention to our local, you know, the editor. I mean, the not the editors, but these goddamn reporters and the TV people. And be sure, the only thing that I think Haldeman's operation is weak on, and yours, is in really calling the network and local stations and kicking the shit out of them. Are you doing that?
Yes, sir. Well, we aren't yet as geared up as much as we will be in another month. Dick Scaife has taken on the...
Right.
Very...
You understand. I want that done, though, particularly after this broadcast tomorrow, tonight.
Well, if they give us any hell tonight, we'll go all out of that.
But I mean all out, vicious calls, you know.
Right.
And...
Well, you remember we did that after the Rather performance, and we had... We know we were hurting him because
he squealed.
He squealed. He was very, very upset about it, and for a few weeks you could tell it had an impact on him. So, we have the mechanism to do that. What we're doing with Scaife is building up a network nationwide where we can really call in all the cities.
Good.
Because then the network knows it isn't an organized thing.
Incidentally, affecting the local stations is more important than the network.
That's right.
And so get out there and have them hit Los Angeles, hit Miami, Chicago. Hit just Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco,
Dallas, Miami.
Cleveland, Miami. Pick the... and Philadelphia.
Right.
Have them call. Now, set that up, Chuck, so that there are calls made.
Yes, sir.
At the stations, the major TV stations, network stations in those areas. That will kill these people.
Oh, it does.
It'll flow right back.
Well, what it does, Mr. President, is the local station owner or operator calls the network and says, Jesus Christ, don't put that jackass on there with the statements like that. I've got all my people in town.
That's much more effective than calling the network.
That's right.
I couldn't agree more. So will you work on that?
Oh, that's high priority. We have it about 50% in place. We'll have it finished this month. But Scaife is putting a hell of a good apparatus in place for us.
Very good.
And we have it, but we're just